Pianists, they follow the song leader. Well, sometimes I follow them. So anyway, thank you so much. Wonderful to be able to sing praises to the Lord and acknowledge Him as our only Savior, our one and only Savior. And He is a sufficient Savior. He loves us. And I see the children are being dismissed to the children's church without my permission, but that's okay. Okay, I never did get much say in my home either, so what should I expect everybody to follow? Anyway, okay, let's turn to 1 Peter, if you would, please. We are back to 1 Peter. Took a little bit of reprieve from Peter and speaking about some of the great women of faith last Sunday on Mother's Day. And that was a blessing to me. I hope it was to you, just to be reminded of the great faith of so many women that we read about in the Bible. And we were able to look at three or four of them, I believe, last time. So 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and let his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let's stand together as we look to the Lord in prayer. If you would, if you're able, let's pray to the Lord. We need His help, don't we, this morning? I need His help to preach, and you need His help to listen and apply, and all of us need His help in obeying. Lord, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word together. What precious words they are that come from heaven to us needy sinners, Lord. And we need direction. Without Christ, we are lost in this sea of life, Lord. And we are carried about with every wind that comes along. Thank you for the anchor we have in Jesus Christ, who is an anchor for our soul. And I pray, Lord, we just continue to cling to the Lord as He has us in His grasp. May we rest in Him. Bless our time in the Word this morning. Speak to our hearts. If there be any here this morning that are not sure of their salvation or have never been saved, may today be the day they call upon the name of the Lord and believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as their Savior. We are needy people. We are sinful people, Lord. But you are a gracious, loving, forgiving God. And you paid for our sins when you sent your Son to bear our sins on the cross, where He died and paid the price that we could never, ever pay. So bless now. Speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen, Lord. And may we be able to focus on what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, last time we examined verse 8 and asked the question, how low will you go? How low will you go? And we saw that in order to function as a unified church body, we must humbly accept one another and even minister to one another. That means serve one another with compassion and love and sympathy and humility. That means forgetting about myself and putting others first. Being of one mind does not mean uniformity, as we noted last time we looked at this, but it does mean Christ-likeness, or I'd like to coin a new word, Christiformity. Christiformity, not uniformity, but Christiformity, which goes along with what Paul said in Galatians 4:19. He prayed that Christ be formed in you. He wanted Christ to be formed in those who believe. And that's what God wants for you and me today, is that Christ be formed in you. How is that formation going? I am going to be conformed to something, and it had better be Christ. Otherwise, it's the world. It's either Christ or the world. What is being formed in you? You know, the message of God through his servant Peter is so practical. I love how down to earth this is. This hits us right where we live and helps us to know how we're to live. I mean, isn't that what we want to know? I want to know how to live. I'm here. I have life. What am I supposed to do with it? And God tells us in his word, and Peter is showing us in his epistle. God meets us where we live, and he knows where we live, and he shows us a way up from where we live. And if we live this, we can have joy. If we live this out, what we're reading here in Peter, you will have joy. If you really live it. Now, you can't pretend to live it. You can't just go through the motions. It means you got to really live it. Otherwise, we're just always mad at somebody. Some of us are always mad at everybody. We're always bitter, always resentful, because the world and people just don't treat me right, you know? Why is that? It's because my heart's not right. My attitude's wrong. And my reactions are showing when I feel that way, when I'm angry all the time at everybody. We see in this passage that Peter is challenging his fellow believers to be submissive to one another through the godless, selfless characteristic of being of one mind, compassionate to one another, loving as brethren, being merciful, being humble, verse 8. And all of this requires a submissive spirit of putting others first. And I don't know about you, but I always seem to have a hard time doing that. Don't you? Because I like to think of me first, right? Me first. It's me, myself, and I. But it requires our stooping to lift others, stooping to help others, going down to minister to the needs of others who are down. It's going low, but how low can you go? Or maybe we should say, how low are you willing to go? See, you and I can go very low, but we're not willing. How low will you stoop? Remember Christ. How low did he go? He left the glories of heaven, came down to earth. That's low. He, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave. He emptied himself. He was brutalized and savagely murdered on the cross for you. This unity concept teaching of the Bible requires that I be something. Maybe that I be something that I'm not being right now. Now let's consider this morning the five B's that I need to be. The five B's, the letter B, the five B's that I need to be, and ask the question, how low are you willing to go? Now, when we think of bees, I think of honeybees, right? And bees sting. And they get a bad rap because they sting. We don't like bees. But you know what? Well, a lot of you know this. They are very good. And so this is Be Kind to Bees Month, okay? June. We'll make June Be Kind to Bees Month because they are very good. They pollinate our flowers and plants. I read that 85% of our food and crops owe their fruitfulness to the honeybee or the bees. Vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, flowers, beans, etc. And on top of that, they produce honey. And I love honey. You love honey, right? Do you know that? Well, let me list you some things that bees pollinate. From what I read, now you can correct me if you know differently, but here's a list of some, not all of them. It's not apples, mangoes, kiwi, plums, peaches, nectarines, pears, alfalfa, okra, strawberry, onions, cashews, apricots, avocados, lima beans, kidney beans, green beans, orchids, cherries, celery, coffee? Walnuts, cotton, sunflower oil, lemons, carrots, cucumbers, watermelon, cauliflower, tomatoes. We eat a lot of those things, don't we? Or drink a lot of those things. So, bees. What, let's be beneficial to one another like bees are to us. Bees give life. You can be what you ought to be, where you can be giving, encouraging life. Number one, we already looked at this last time. Let me just mention it. Number one, be like-minded. In fact, number one is all the farther we got last time we looked at this, two Sundays ago, I think. Be like-minded. We read in verse 8, be ye all of one mind. We need to be one-minded, don't we? Unified in what we believe. We sing, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. It goes on to say, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity or love. We read in Romans 15, 5 through 7, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one-minded, toward one another in Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. Receive each other. And with one mind and one mouth, we are to glorify God as a body, as a church. How are we doing in that? So be like-minded. We come today to number two, be a blessing. My second be a blessing. Be a blessing. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise or on the contrary, blessing. There it is. Be a blessing, Peter is saying. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. So we're to be a blessing because we're called to be a blessing, and we're going to receive a blessing ourselves from God if we'll be a blessing. So you want to inherit a blessing? God says, then be a blessing. And if you'll be a blessing to everybody all the time, you'll inherit a blessing. In other words, don't pay back evil for evil, wrong for wrong, right? Bad for bad. And evil here, the word evil is used in the widest sense. It means all kinds of evil. It's the idea that someone wronged you and they treated you badly. And so you're going to pay them back with more bad, more wrong, more wrongdoing and evil. After all, they deserve it. That's the American way. Well, it may be, but it's not the Bible way. It's not God's way. Railing for railing means that we don't rail on someone. We don't go off on them. I had a cousin years ago. Well, I still have a cousin, Ron. Cousin Ron. We went playing together. Cousin Ron was, there were three, I had three first, there were three of us first cousins that were all the same age. And then Cousin Ron, one of my cousin's older brothers, he was about 2 years older than us. And I remember a time when we were about 12 years old, and he was probably 14, and we were at his house, and he started getting mad, and he was kind of a big kid. He was pretty big. He was a heavy, heavy kid. And because he was, we could outrun him. So we would tease him and then outrun him, you know, because he'd get mad. We just loved to tease Cousin Ron. But he would say this. He'd say, I'm going to wail on you. And when he said, I'm going to wail on you, you ran. Because you didn't want Ron to wail on you. Because he was the size of a whale. If he wailed on you, that means he's going to get you and he's going to lay on top of you. And that's, he used that expression all the time. I'm going to wail on you. And his little brother, one of my first cousins, he got wailed on all the time. Well, anyway, you knew to run from that. And so we're not to rail on one another or wail on one another, we might say. Don't pay back reviling for reviling, insult for insult. Abusive language. That's the idea of using abusive language and thus insulting someone. And you know what? It's so easy to do. We just learned it naturally. It just is natural for us to do that. I was made that way, you know. I got Irish blood in me, or German blood, or Russian blood, whatever kind of blood. Well, it's Adam's blood is what it is, and that's the problem. It's so easy to do, but is it right? Is it right? No, we're above that. We're above that as Christians. That is totally not the Christian thing to do. Now, I don't know what was going on among the brethren to whom Peter writes, but you have to wonder if they weren't at each other's throats at times, based on the language used here. I mean, why would Peter even use the phrase, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, if they weren't doing that very thing? You see, we learn a lot about the situation going on in the day Peter lived by how he writes here. And he first admonishes them to be of one mind and have compassion, probably because they were not of one mind, and were instead of a mind to get even with each other by paying back evil that was done to them. I have a right mind to just show you a thing or two. No, you have a wrong mind to show me a thing or two. Well, he done me wrong and he's going to pay for it. You know, wars are started among nations because of that type of thinking. And there are wars going on in families, Christian families, in churches, Bible-believing churches, because of that. And that ought not to be the case ever. Muhammad Ali was quoted as saying, "I'm a fighter, and I believe in the eye for an eye business. I'm no cheek turner. I got no respect for a man who won't hit back. You kill my dog, you better hide your cat." And we say, "Hey, I don't like that kind of guy." No, 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 no. No, 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 no. If I feel that somebody has treated me wrong, oh, by the way, turn to Romans 12. Romans 12 and 17. If I feel that somebody has treated me wrongly, rather than pay them back, what should I do instead? Well, what we've been talking about, our second B, be a blessing. Be a blessing. Instead of paying back, be a blessing to them. Give them a blessing, and you will be paid back by God with a blessing. So you avoid a fight, you keep or win a friend, and you receive a reward from God. Now, you can't beat that, can you? Now, by the way, I'm talking about within the family. I'm not talking about somebody invades my house with a gun or something, you know? Okay, I owe them something, like a bullet or two, if I'm able. So this time about other people, and especially within the family of God, but even those outside the family. So, but you receive a reward from God. And in this chapter, Romans 12, verse 17, it's like a letter. It's like a letter written to you or me from God. Let's just pretend that God wrote this letter with your name and address on the envelope, and you just received it in the mail and are now opening it and reading it, and it's just for you. You received a letter in the mail from God to Terry. Terry Post, 222 South Elm, and I'm opening up, and it says, "Dear Terry," verse 17, "recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Sign your Savior, your loving Savior, Jesus Christ, God. Someone says, "Well, they just really upset me and they hurt me and offended me and they need to learn a lesson. How are they going to learn a lesson if I don't teach them?" But what lesson are they going to learn? What's the proper way to handle it? If you can't let it go, if you can't cover it, then you simply go and talk to them in love. That's the Matthew 18 principle, right? You go. You've been offended? You go to that person that offended you. You think you've offended someone? You still go to that person and talk. Talk. Communicate. Go. Matthew 18:15, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You've won a friend, a brother, by going and talking. And most of the time, I believe he or she will hear you. They will hear you. If you go humbly and in love with the desire to maintain or restore the relationship, you can work things out. And it may be with a family member, maybe a co-worker, maybe a fellow Christian within the church. You go to them. You don't stay mad at them and start telling everybody else about what they did to you. And that's what our tendency is. You want to know what so-and-so did? And when, by the way, when we hear people talk like that, first thing we ought to do is, have you talked to them? They're going to say, well, no. And then you say, I'll go with you. Let's go talk to them. Come on. And then see what they do. That's the way we do it. We don't like to do it that way, but that's a Bible way. That's a Bible way. Go, and you'll gain a brother. They will hear thee. If you go humbly and in love and in desire to maintain and restore the relationship, you can work things out. And if they won't hear you, it's on them. You've done your part. You just talk to them. You never talk about them if you've been hurt or wronged, but you talk to them. Many times it's the case that that person doesn't even know he's offended you. They don't even know it. Really, so many times that's the case. And that's on me, too, to do that. So work it out, or it will work on you and work you out the rest of your life. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4:8. Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. See, love will cover. Put a cover on it. Love that person. A couple quotes, someone said, revenge can only be found on the road to self-destruction. If you're always trying to pay people back, you're on the road to self-destruction. Another one, while seeking revenge, dig two graves, one for yourself. One for yourself. It could be that you and that person could end up being best friends if you just go to them. But instead, you consider him or her your worst enemy. What a shame, and shame on us. You can have a great friend. But contrariwise, blessing, he goes on saying in verse 9. Contrary, blessing. That word blessing in the original is a word eulogeo. Eulogeo. And it means bless, to speak well of. And we get our word eulogy from this word. Eulogeo, eulogy. It's a transliteration. In the English, it's almost spelled exactly the same as the Greek. And what do we know about eulogies? Well, then when the preacher gives a eulogy in a funeral, what's he do? He speaks well of the deceased, whether he was good or not, right? He tries to get him into heaven any way he can. Sad to say, some do that. But it doesn't do much good, right? But that's a eulogy, speaking well. That's, we're to be a blessing. We're to be a eulogy. We're to speak well of people. Instead of evening the score, we're to give them a blessing, a eulogy. We're to bless them, speak well of them. And that should be the case all the time anyway, right? We can give them a blessing by being a blessing rather than cursing them. We can love them. We can pray for them. We can give thanks for them. We can forgive them. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter. Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? And of course we know the Lord responded, no, how about 70 times seven? 490 times, meaning you just keep forgiving and forgiving. And then he gives a story, an illustration to illustrate that great truth. The reason given for giving a blessing is that you and I are going to inherit a blessing, verse 9. We are now presently heirs of God's blessing and the blessing of others all around us, and we will yet inherit the blessing of heaven and hear good words in heaven when God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? God will forgive you as you forgive others. And God has forgiven you far more than you will ever need to forgive others. Because your offense against God is deserving of his eternal wrath. And according to our faithfulness, we will hear God speak, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, 21. Okay, so we've got our B's. Number one, be like-minded. Number two, be a blessing. Be a blessing. And number three, be careful. Be careful. Just be careful. And I'm talking about how we talk. Verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Look at James chapter 3. Be careful. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. And he goes on, and they go on to eyes, and then, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Because the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth. And feet, and mind, and heart, and so on. Oh, the tongue. Be careful what we say. That's the third B. If I can only get a grip on my tongue. I can't get a grip. It just slips out. That's the way the tongue is. We can't get a grip on our tongue. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Just get a grip. Be careful what you say. James 3, verse 2. For in many things we all offend, is how that should be worded. In many things we all offend, or we stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And that's what we need to do, put a bit in our mouth. We can turn great ships with a little rudder, right? Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members, and it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we know that. We know that, don't we, by experience. I let my tongue go, and it can go. I've got to control it. God tells us, and we desire to love life and see good days, we've got to watch our tongue. And you love life, right? Surely you love life. It's good to love life. We should love this life, because this life is a gift from God. I love what Ken Regeer used to say so often. He would say, I'm just loving this living. I'm just loving this living. Remember the first time I ever heard him say that, we were back in the church right over there. Maybe I heard before, but that's when a memory stands out. I just thought of that. You know, I like that. I'm just loving this living. He just loved living. And, of course, he loved it primarily because he was saved. He was saved. And we need to, if we're going to love life and see good days, I got to watch my tongue. God tells us, watch your tongue. If you love the new life in Christ that you've been given by God, you'll watch your tongue. And that life will be even more lovely by restraining your speech to be pleasing to the Lord. And he goes on to say, and see good days. Isn't that wonderful? God is pleased to give me good days. He wants you and I to have good days. He wants you and me to have good days. But we'll begin to experience our share of bad days if we go off on people with our tongue, and we become miserable, miserable people when we do that. So refrain your tongue from evil speaking and your lips from guile, from deceit, from dishonesty. And really, Peter is loosely quoting Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16, which in part say, what man is he that desires life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And it goes on. So Peter's obviously referring to the psalmist in Psalm 34. And there's not a square inch in your heart for using your tongue for evil. So never speak evil of people. And now, okay, when our president calls this brutal gang animals, I'm all for that, okay? You can call the wicked what they are, wicked. He referred to the MS-13 gang members that brutalized people, called them animals, and of course that made all the news and all the liberal news media saying, how could he degrade human beings, you know, and give me a break. But we're talking about normal people we deal with day by day. We're not talking about terrorists and people that are out to kill you and me. But I'm to refrain my tongue. I'm never speak evil of people. Keep those lips from moving in a way that they form words that are deceitful. Always be honest. Just be honest, always. So number one, be like-minded. Be a blessing. Number three, be careful. And number four, be good. Be good. Verse 10, or verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Eschew evil means you chew on it and spit it right out. You know, you depart from it. You abstain from it. You avoid using evil. Most other versions translate it, turn away from evil. And that's the meaning. If we would be careful and see good days, we've got to turn away from evil. Stop, turn, go the other way. But we don't do that today in our culture. You know, and there's a time we fought evil. Then we ignored evil. And then there came a time we tolerated evil. Then we accepted it. Then we embraced it, and then we celebrated it, and now on top of that, we bully and punish those who oppose evil. We can apply that to the homosexual movement. There was a day we fought against that. We said it was bad. Not just homosexual marriage, but the practice of homosexuality, and that those people need help. They need help. And we opposed it, then we ignored it, then we tolerated it, then we accepted it and embraced it, then it wasn't long we celebrated it, now again we punish those who oppose that. Be good, not evil. Christ went about doing good. You and I can be good by God's grace. So be like-minded, be a blessing, be careful, be good, and finally be in prayer. Be in prayer. Number five, be in prayer. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Aren't you glad for that? God's ears are open under his prayer. I just was reading this morning in 2 Chronicles, I don't know if it was 34, 36, where Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed because Sennacherib was going to attack them and destroy them. And they prayed, and God destroyed the enemy. But it just stood out to me, all they did was pray. They prayed, and God brought the victory. We can pray, be in prayer. His ears are open. He heard Hezekiah, he heard Isaiah, he hears you and me. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So let's be praying, righteous men and women. His ears are open. The eyes and the ears and the face of the Lord are involved in our lives. His eyes see the good in us. His ears hear our prayers. And his face is against us when we do evil. Where are you at in this situation? Be in prayer because the eyes of God see us in prayer. He sees the righteous. His eyes are over us. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And I won't read these, but Job 34:21, Proverbs 5:21, Psalm 33:18, Psalm 34:15. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What is it to have the face of the Lord against us? Could there be anything more fearful than to have the face of God against me, a sinner? For the Lord to be against you is to be without any hope, without any help, without any light, without a Savior. Wow. Thomas Watson, Puritan writer from way back there, he said this, "The wrath of God shall seize upon every part of a sinner, upon the body which was so tender that it could not bear heat or cold, shall be tormented in the winepress of God's wrath. Those eyes which before could behold lustful objects shall be tormented with the sight of devils. The ears which before delighted with music shall be tormented with the hideous shrieks of the damned. The wrath of God shall seize upon the soul of a reprobate. Ordinary fire cannot touch the soul. When the martyrs' bodies were consumed, their souls triumphed in the flames. But God's wrath burns the soul. The memory will be tormented to remember what means of grace have been abused. The conscience will be tormented with self-accusations. The sinner will accuse himself for presumptuous sins, for misspending his precious hours, and resisting the Holy Spirit." Wow. But on the other hand, God is for me when I am for him and in him. And he desires that I live for and honor and love him and serve him. And I can do that by his grace if I'll receive him and walk in him. So be like-minded, be careful, be a blessing, be good, be in prayer. You and I are going to be something in this sojourn that we call life. The question is, what will I be? Who will I be? I'm going to be somebody. And if I'm not what I ought to be now, I can change. By God's grace, I can change today. Going this way is the wrong way. Turn around. Go that way. That's all I've got to do. Just turn. That's called repentance. That's called repentance. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Be doers of the word. James 1:22. Be kind one to another. Ephesians 4:31. Be content. Hebrews 13:5. Be followers of God as dear children. Ephesians 5:1. Is your heart right with God? Are you right with God this morning? Are you humble? Do you have a humble and contrite heart? What about your relationship with others? How is it going? Do you hold bitterness? Are you resentful towards someone? You won't talk to them? Don't want to be around them? Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. And it begins by going low. But the question is, am I willing to go that low? And if you do, God will lift you up. God will lift you up to his joy. You don't have joy today? Maybe because things aren't right in your relationship with others and with God. May God help us. God, take my life and use it for your glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time. I do pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who needs your grace, needs to make a change, needs to get their heart right with you, I pray this morning would be the time that they do that. Help them, Lord. Help us all to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing you promised to exalt us in your due time. So have your way now as we close. May you be glorified. May we humble ourselves and do what we know is right. And we know you will be pleased and we'll have joy again if we'll do it. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.